You know, Pastor, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about fear. We mentioned that this is all about developing faith to overcome fear and doubt. And you made a good point just a minute ago that we haven't said a whole lot about doubt.
Yes, sir. That is so important that we all fall into this category now. Some people may be fearful at others, but when it comes around to doubt, I looked at the word doubt, and it means a lack of a feeling of concern, a lack of conviction. Hesitant. When it comes around to the things of God, we're supposed to be on point. We don't supposed to be have. The Bible says that anybody that wavers with God, God said, I ain't got nothing for you. Mm. God want us to, we need to close doubt down. And you know, that's a scripture in the Bible, in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, and the 6th through the 8th verse that tells us, he said, the Bible said, be anxious for nothing. Wow. He said, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it said, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it told us how to deal with it. He told us to deal with it. He said, finally, my brother, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mm-hmm. He said, this is how you handle doubt. He said, start thinking on good things. Now, everybody, I know a lot of people say, well, that's going to be a little hard for me to think on good things. No, if you woke up this morning, you got something to give God the praise for. If you ate some food this morning, unless you're on a fast, you need to obey God. But if you ate food tomorrow, you owe him. You shouldn't have no doubt in your God. Mm. See, that's one thing. If we look through the Bible, we see there were some men and women in the Bible that they didn't have no doubt in God. And the ones that impressed me, some of them that impressed me were these three Hebrew boys, young boys.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't doubt who their God was. They told the king, said, King, we ain't going to answer you. We're going to tell you straight up. We ain't bowing to no statue. Now, if God delivers, he got the power to deliver us. But if he don't deliver, they had no doubt of who their God was. Yes. And this is something that God is looking for in these last days. Elder, he's looking for us to get to a point that we eliminate doubt and fear out of our lives. And to tell me you can't do it, I can't agree with you, because I found out we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us.
Yes.
And so that's why it is so important for us to get the message out, and even the medium that you bring. I am so overwhelmed to just be able to talk to you when I see you. I got opportunity to see you this weekend at church, and it just smiled on my face when I saw you, and really to holler at you a couple of minutes and just see the work that you're doing. And how it impacts our society. I know sometimes you may not think it, but it's having a great influence on people's lives. Mm. It's that when they're talking with Carl Thornton, and even when I was telling them coming in today, I didn't get a chance to tell the church because we was at a central location on last week. But they always know that when I get opportunity, I let all of them know. I'm talking with Carl Thornton. Don't be calling me between 1 and 2. So you have been such an inspiration to me and to the church and the role that you play in this society. And God wanted me to let you know that. And that because even where he's taking you, there's a higher calling in your life. And so that's why it's so important that even though when the enemy come in your life and try to bring fear and doubt and unbelief, all you got to do is call that name. Mm. And when you call that name, it has to obey.
Wow. And you know, I appreciate you for encouraging me and strengthening me like that, because there's no question there are times that I'm under attack and the enemy wants me to be overwhelmed with fear, wants me to be overwhelmed with doubt, wants me to conclude that what God promised, he is not going to deliver. Mm. I absolutely refuse to cooperate with the enemy.
Yes, sir. That's so powerful.
And then God comes around and sends a strong brother in the Lord to share what you just shared, that further strengthens me, that further inspires me. And I know it's going to be all right. I know God is going to do what he has said he's going to do. You know, I was thinking, Pastor, I think it was the middle of last week, I was taking a look again at what God did with the Israelites when he took them, got them into freedom, helped them cross the Red Sea, and let them see their enemies, their persecutors, their pursuers destroyed, and how they rejoiced that God had come through for them. I thought about Hannah and how when God came through and gave her the son she'd asked for, she sang a song of praise.
Yes, sir.
not only thanking God for how he had come through and given her the blessing she'd asked for, but also prophetically speaking, singing about what he would do with her enemies. Mm. I think about Mary's song when she was visiting her cousin Elizabeth.
Yes, sir.
And how when she began to praise God for having impregnated Elizabeth with the one who would go before the Savior, impregnated Mary herself with the Savior, she sang her song of praise. But in that, she also sang prophetically about how God deals with the enemies of his people. I think about Revelation 19. He destroyed the people of Babylon, all those folks responsible for the blood of the prophets and the saints. And we hear the angels, we hear the elders and the others praising God for what he's done to the enemies of his people.
That is good. That is awesome. Because one thing we got to understand is that when fear and doubt come up, God is waiting for your response. What is your response going to be? Are you going to strive the mountain? Oh, you're going to sit up here and command the mountain. Mm. God is looking for what we're doing on the other side of the door. Because some doors have not been opened in our lives and fear and doubt shows up. But if you over there with your pity party, you over there crying and complaining like the children of Israel did for 40 years. Yeah. Are you over there with a praise on your lips? Mm. Are you over there just saying, God, I give you the glory. Yes. I give you the praise for who you are. And this is what that allows certain things that we hang out. God allows us to stay in until we learn the lesson. Mm. And so when doubt and fear come up, God is looking for a praise. Wow. God is looking for his word to come forth out of your mouth. He's looking for the rhema word to come forth because the rhema word is going to change your situation and your circumstances. And that's why it's so important that the next time you get attacked with fear and doubt, I dare you to go to the word of God and say what God said over your situation.
And that's one of the ways that we develop our faith.
Yes, sir.
When we're attacked by that which brings fear, we're attacked by that which brings doubt. Rather than just sit back and take that beating, we say, oh, no, we're not taking this. We open up the word of God to, again, remind ourselves of what he has to say about our situation.
Yes, sir. Mm.
And then by choice, we believe him instead of believing the other.
Yes, sir. Mm. And that's go back to faith. Because that's one thing you got to realize, the bottom line of faith is believing what God said over anything that you see, taste, touch, hear, or smell. You believe in God, I don't care what I see, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that brings us all the way back to the beginning, and that the next time your attack comes, because some of y'all in the midst of an attack, that some of y'all coming out of attack, and some of y'all just hold on a minute, you're going to have another attack going to come.
Yes,
and God said, I want to build you, I want to make you more and more of the image of my son. Mm. And so that's why it's so important that when you have the opportunities to come and to speak on behalf of God and to be able to impart something to somebody, is such a great honor.
Wow. You know what? That is so beautiful. And so this is why it's all about development. We accept the fact that we never arrive, which means we never get to a point where we can say, I no longer need to study God's word. We never get to a point where we say, well, I don't need to spend as much time in prayer as I used to. I'm there now. I got it all covered now.
That is so good, because until you become like Jesus, you're not there. And let me bust everybody's bubble from beginning until the end. Ain't nobody going to be like Jesus. He want to develop you into the image of him.
Yeah.
He want to make you more and more like him. Mm-hmm. And it's an ongoing thing that we all have to experience and we grow in. But I'm going to tell you that you don't want to be the same way you are. Your faith level you want to have a higher faith level next year at this time.
Yeah.
And God's going to make sure of that, because he's going to send situations and circumstances your way to continue to build our faith into the person, because the author and finisher of our faith, we know is Jesus Christ. He's the originator. He is the perfecter of our faith.
Yes.
And so next time you go through some light affliction, the Bible says, he said, all I want you to do is just count it all joy, because it's going to lead you into a better relationship with God and more into the image of Jesus Christ.
Wow. You said something that really, really caught my attention, because it gets to something again that a lot of Christians hear but don't necessarily embrace. And that is that often when we're going through tough times, God himself is the one who sent the tough time.
Yes, sir, that is so powerful, because if you even look at Jesus' life, when he came out of the Jordan, where the Holy Spirit and God was at the Jordan River, and God opened up the heavens, said, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, lighted upon him. Then the Holy Spirit said, "Okay, it's time to go." And he did not lead him up to the synagogue. He led him out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God's going to allow you to be tempted in certain things. But God promised us the victory. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus.
When we come back, Pastor, that was such a powerful point, that Jesus was in that wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That in itself was an ordeal. He didn't just cruise through that and it was a piece of cake just because he was the Son of God. That was a 40-day, 40-night fast that his body felt the same way our bodies would feel it. And then he had to deal with the devil.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, I would like for you to lead us through another journey that you've already taken us to, but I want you to specifically home in on that point about the fact that when we find ourselves in the valleys of death, how we get there. How do we end up in the valley of the shadow of death? Ladies and gentlemen, I think you're going to find it interesting when you find out how true, faithful followers of Christ end up in the valley of the shadow of death. We'll be right back.